Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me along with co-host Leah Rose as we sit down with the artists you love to get unparalleled creative insight. You'll hear revealing interviews with some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Usher, Pete Townsend, Damon Albarn of the Gorillaz, and Missy Elliott. And you'll hear from up-and-comers like jazz artist Leve, who told me about her fast rise to fame during the pandemic. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We've got a lot to get to with you today, and it is a Friday, so definitely want to hear from you throughout the show. 800-282-2882. Headline here from Daily Mail. Russia is now at war with NATO and the West. Putin has taken the conflict in Ukraine to a different stage following Germany and the U.S.'s decision to supply tanks. U.S. decided, then Germany decided. We will discuss that with you. Plus, we have Kim Strassel, a brilliant columnist for the Wall Street Journal, be joining us later on. Remember how they talked about banning gas stoves for a day or two? And then the defense was, why are the right wingers talking about banning gas stoves? That's crazy. We're not going to let them get away with that. There is, in fact, a campaign to make you think your gas stove is dangerous and bad for the environment, dangerous to you and bad for the environment, with some very powerful interests involved. And they just realized it looked bad. And so they tried to walk back from it. Also interesting, the Biden administration proposing to change the U.S. census, adding Middle Eastern and North African categories. We could talk about identity politics and the census and all of these different categories coming up a little later on. Today, though, the news story that everybody is focused in on, and there's unfortunately a tremendous amount of anxiety and emotion and outrage that is growing, has to do with the imminent release. We're not exactly sure when it will be. It could actually happen during this program. Clay and I are both scanning to see when the video of the Tyree Nichols incident, body camera footage from these five police officers, is released. Clay, neither you nor I have seen it yet. It's expected it could come out at any moment. Here is a quote from the police chief in Memphis. We're going to see acts in the body cam that defy humanity. This was the Memphis's top cop warning about what the public response will likely be to this fatal traffic stop beating of Tyree Nichols. Five officers involved. All officers involved are black. Tyree Nichols is black. And this was described by that top cop as, quote, worse than Rodney King. And there is now belief also that he was not even, as this wouldn't change, obviously, the gravity of the situation, but was not even driving recklessly when he was pulled over in the first place. The footage is going to be released today. Clay, Memphis and many other cities are bracing for riots.
Yeah, and let's play, I think we've got some audio here from the Memphis police chief actually saying what you just said, which they can't substantiate the reason why this individual, Tyree Nichols, was pulled over. I believe that's cut one.
I'm going to be honest with you about the stop itself. What was said was that there was a witnessing of what was considered reckless driving. We've looked at cameras, we've looked at body-worn cameras, and even if something occurred prior to this stop, we've been unable to substantiate that. The information that we have right now, based on what we could observe, is the stop itself and the first officer exiting his vehicle, and you'll see that on the body-worn camera. And at that time, the officers were already, you know, aggressive and amped up.
So that's the Memphis police chief, I believe, giving you her review of the facts and the data and the video in this situation. We also should get the mom of this individual, Tyree Nichols, who was murdered, get hit her audio, because she was on television this morning calling for peace and calm. Tyree Nichols, 29 years old, had a four-year-old son. Again, what I don't understand about this, Buck, and I'm far from an expert on the release of highly sensitive video, but my understanding is they are releasing this right around 6 p.m. Memphis time. So I live in Nashville. That's just about time it's officially gotten fully dark in the state of Tennessee this time of year. And it's on a Friday when everybody, in theory, by and large, is back home after a long week. It doesn't make sense to me why they would choose to release this on a Friday evening headed into a weekend when people, I mean, think about it, like young kids, teenage kids, boys in particular, who tend to cause a lot of trouble. You know, if you look at the data on who creates incidents, it's, we've talked about this before, 16 to 24 year old males. They're not in school. They don't have class to go to. Their school bus isn't coming to pick them up. I don't know why you wouldn't. And we were talking about this off air, Buck, and I'm curious how you would analyze this. It seems to me a miscalculation to release something like this going into the weekend when there is massive amounts of free time at night, when it's already more difficult for whoever is called in to try to make things safer, no matter what the situation is. Why would you not release this at like 7 in the morning on a Wednesday, Buck? And maybe it's just me miscalculating, but it seems as if whatever protest would ensue would be far more likely to turn into a riot when it's in the dark on the weekend.
Yes, I think that maybe there's a bit of a holdover belief that bad news on a Friday is less likely to get as much attention, or perhaps allows people, you think people often get, yeah, I know the very separate issue, but they'll do layoffs on a Friday. The idea being people have the weekend to gather themselves and collect, you know, traumatic news on a Friday. In this instance, I think holding the information and releasing it on a Friday is not a wise decision. Now, perhaps there won't be, this has been the case in other high profile police violence involved incidents where there was a preparation for a lot of riots that didn't happen. So this could be just like that. Hopefully it will be entirely peaceful. And I have a theory on how that may be more likely to be the case. Here is, though, first, the Memphis DA, Steve Mulroy, who is calling for police reform, and he is saying the whole world is watching. Play clip two.
We all want the same thing. We want justice for Tyree Nichols. It's my hope that if there is any silver lining to be drawn from this very dark cloud, it's that perhaps this incident can open a broader conversation about the need for police reform. The world is watching us, and we need to show the world what lessons we can learn from this tragedy.
I mean, the world is also watching, Clay, from the perspective of the response of the community. Based on everything, I mean, the chief of police wouldn't say this is gut-wrenching and awful if it was not obviously the case from the video. So I think we can safely assume, not having seen it ourselves, that this is going to be very, very difficult to watch and have a tremendous amount of emotional and psychological impact on people. I also, though, think it is very likely that there will be a universal condemnation of the police actions here. that there won't be some major political divide. This is not going to be an instance, I believe. Again, we haven't seen the video and we're speaking to you with the knowledge that it could come out at any moment. But based on what we've been told, I would think it's likely that the right, the left, you know, everybody is going to say this is awful. Police violence like this is completely unacceptable. They should face the fullest possible charges. And when that happens, why would there be riots? Right. I mean, I would be hopeful that if there's a universal sense that this was an injustice and this was egregious, that it would tamp down, that would calm at a certain level the destruction of neighborhoods and burning a building. Protest, absolutely. Marches, absolutely. But burning down the neighborhood grocery store or drugstore, there's obviously no justification for that. But also, when there's not some political conflict at the heart of this, I'm not sure that it will have quite the same, there'll be quite the same response from the hard left.
Well, not only that, they've already charged all five officers with murder. Right. So I think that is something that, presuming the evidence justifies that, that was smart to have done. I genuinely wonder, and we talked about this yesterday, how much the race of the police officers involved is also going to change the anger on some level, because you can't. I'm sure there'll be an attempt to say this is a further example of white supremacy or whatever else. But for this situation in particular, five black Memphis cops being charged with murder of a 29-year-old black man, I think it takes away the argument, at least to me, that this is predominantly a race-based policing decision and that this is occurring because Tyree Nichols was black. In other words, it's hard to believe that this occurred specifically because this individual was black. And look, my concern, one, is for everybody who's done absolutely nothing wrong. There are tons of Memphis cops out there right now whose lives may well be in danger tonight and today because of the release of this video, who are busting their asses every day to try to make the city of Memphis safe. And it's not just Memphis, Buck. Tons of cops all over this country who are in cities and are apprehensive and nervous. Probably this morning at their meetings, they said, hey, guys, there's going to be a viral video coming out this evening, 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time in Memphis. It may impact things from New York to Los Angeles in terms of what happens in your cities tonight. Just be aware. All those people doing their jobs in danger. Buck, I think they've already called out the National Guard to try to prepare for this situation potentially, or the State Guard or whatever you want to call it in Memphis. A lot of other people being called in, I imagine, potentially for these reactions. And again, I just feel awful for all of those people out there who are going to put their lives in danger. And if you got love, we should open up phone lines, by the way, because we've got the number one radio show in Memphis. 800-282-2882. I'm sure we have a massive listenership in Memphis that can give us a sense for what on the ground it feels like there. But Buck, let me contextualize this too. As someone who lives up the road in Nashville, it's been an awful year for Memphis. All-time record highs for murders. They had the Eliza Fletcher story, which went viral in, I believe, August or so, when a mom who was out for a jog was kidnapped by a felon who shouldn't have been on the streets and murdered. That was a gut-wrenching blow to the city. Almost within a couple of weeks, if I remember correctly, right after that, Buck, you had, we talked about it on the show. Remember that guy who was Facebook videoing himself driving all around the city of Memphis, killing people randomly? That was, again, an awful, terrifying incident for many people in Memphis. I'm just wondering, if you are in Memphis right now, 800-282-2882, what are you seeing on the ground? We'll play the mom calling for calm. I believe we have that when we come back. But also, I just am curious to hear from our listeners there. As I said, we have the number one show in Memphis. I'm curious what you guys are seeing and what you are expecting as things continue to progress, unfortunately, in that situation. So we'll continue to follow this throughout the show. It is the biggest story that is out there right now. Look, I gotta tell you, shifting gears. When you decide to switch your cell phone service from one provider to another, you keep your same cell phone and you keep your same cell phone number. So what would make you want to switch? Well, how about saving money and also going with someone who shares your political values, because they want to do business with companies that share the same values as all of you listening out there right now. Pure Talk, veteran-owned business, proudly employs a U.S.-based customer service team, a company that purposely doesn't spend their marketing dollars with fake news networks, for instance. You're going to get fast data, talk, text for just $30 a month. Plus, Pure Talk has a first-month risk-free guarantee. Try it. If you're not completely happy with your Pure Talk service, you'll get your money back. Dial #250. Say Clay and Buck, you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Again, dial #250. Say Clay and Buck. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless.
From the front lines of freedom and truth, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Clay and Buck. The video of the Paul Pelosi attack is out. Clay and I have watched it over many times now, just as this news is breaking. I want to also remind you that the Tyree Nichols body cam footage will be released later today, probably after the show today is over. So if that changes, we'll bring you that breaking news and our analysis of it. But for right now, we do have the video of the Paul Pelosi attack. I just would preface this with, it is obvious from the attack that it was, you know, a vicious assault on Paul Pelosi by this clearly deranged person. Paul Pelosi is an elderly man, and you know, he didn't deserve this. No elderly person would deserve what happened to him at all. And glad to hear that he is making a solid recovery and he's going to be okay. There's no making light of the violence against Paul Pelosi here. That's not what this is about. This is about getting the facts of the case correctly. And we're all happy that Paul Pelosi is fine. And it's hard to watch when you watch the video. You realize this guy, he's in his late 70s, right, Clay? I mean, this is like, grandparents' yeah. age. And he's attacked by this maniac. With all of that said, and I think that needed to be said, I have some questions. First of all, Miguel Almaguer was suspended by NBC News for accurately describing what happened. Clay and I, remember, we talked about this yesterday, Clay. We said, what's going to happen here? You think they're even going to apologize to him? They suspended a reporter for the reportage of fact. And they did it because it raised any question about the incident, and they had a political narrative, which is Republican. This guy, by the way, the notion of this, like, lunatic nudist hippie who's living in a broken down bus selling weed all the time and wandering around and saying he's Jesus Christ. that this is some kind of a right-wing hit or something was completely insane. And NBC and the rest of them all went along with it. So let's just start with, they owe reporter Miguel Almaguer a big apology, as we thought they would. He was right. What he said happened, happened. How do we know? Clay, Paul Pelosi answers the door in his boxer shorts and like a nightshirt, calmly. The police officers are in no rush when they get there. The police officers knock. They're kind of like, hey, are we even in the right place? Paul Pelosi calmly walks the door, calmly answers the door, and they're just kind of saying, having a, hey guys, everybody okay here thing? And Paul Pelosi has a drink with ice cubes in it in his left hand during this whole exchange. And then it just sort of escalates. The maniac swings a hammer at him. What does this tell us? Yeah,
to me, what stands out the most is when Paul Pelosi play you the report from the Today Show that got the reporter suspended when we come back in this next segment, because I think we can hear, and now that we've seen the video ourselves, we can assess the accuracy of that, that report, which was considered unacceptable and NBC fired him, or suspended him over it. Now, what I have said from the get-go, when we first heard his report, I think if you went back and listened to our show, Buck, I said, for most people out there, if there was an attacker who had entered into your home and put you in peril of your life, and the police arrived and opened the door, you would immediately rush outside and get behind the police. Now, this guy is standing right beside him holding a hammer. It's hard to tell from the video to me, Buck, whether he actually has physical, like whether he's holding Pelosi's arm in when that door is open. Pelosi definitely has a drink in his hand, it appears, which is also significant here. But the cops basically open the door and say, hey, what's going on, guys? And then in a fraction of a second, if you watch this video, and you can go check it out, both of us have shared it at Clay Travis, at Buck Sexton for yourself on Twitter. You can go search out our accounts and go watch this video for yourself. Buck, when you see it, is how quickly it turns. The attack kind of comes out of nowhere, in other words. It's not as if there's a great deal of anger apparent, and then suddenly, a minute passes or something, and then there's an attack. There's no screaming at. It just goes directly to the hammer attack really quickly. But I think the question I have is, if there's an assailant in your home, the police arrive at your home, and you have an opportunity to rush outside behind the police, that's the one thing here that does not add up to me. Clay, I think we definitely need more here.
If someone broke into my home at, what was this, 2 o'clock in the morning or something, right?
Middle of the night, it's a report.
Middle of the night. Someone breaks into my home in the middle of the night. I have never met this person and don't know this person. Let's assume that that's part of it. And they're clearly, you look at this guy, you can tell this guy's not, he's not all there, right? It is very obvious from just his body language and in the video what happens. If the guy was walking around for months saying he thought he was Jesus and crazy things, he's a lunatic. Okay. A lunatic breaks into your home in the middle of the night. You and I are both thinking, am I going to have to kill this person to defend myself and my family or those around me? Like that's your thought process. How do I get away from this person as quickly as possible? My life is in jeopardy. To me, there are two possibilities here that would make some degree of sense based on the video that we've seen. The first would be this guy broke in. It's late at night. Paul Pelosi is, he's 82 years old. He's really out of it. And he kind of just starts like they actually start talking. And there's some, maybe he's trying to de-escalate. Maybe he's really scared, but he's trying to de-escalate. Maybe he even offers the guy a drink. And I'm just extrapolating here. Maybe offers the guy a drink and says, hey, we can talk this out. But it also, he called the cops, right?
Yeah, the reports are, and again, I'm remembering based on prior, I think we had 911 call that was released prior. I feel like Pelosi went into the bathroom at some point and made a call asking for police to come. But you can tell by the way the police arrive, it was not a call that suggested, hey, someone's trying to kill me. It was, hey, there's somebody here who's not supposed to be here. Can you come? It was like a wellness check almost kind of call.
So that's the one option that I laid out. I think that is feasible. I'm not saying that happened. I'm saying that would be feasible based on now having seen the video. The other option is that he knew this guy in some capacity. I don't know what, maybe just from the neighborhood or whatever. I don't know. We don't have data. We don't have facts. We don't have evidence to prove that, but that would then at some level indicate why he wouldn't be terrified. I mean, I think everyone listening to this knows, Clay, crazy person breaks into your house in the middle of the night, wakes you up and has a hammer. You are terrified. You are thinking, am I going to have to kill this person or is he going to try to kill me? You're not answering the door in your boxer shorts with a drink in your hand saying, yeah, everything's okay, which is what happens in this video, right? I mean, that's just not what you would expect from the situation. So clearly they didn't want this video released before because it doesn't look like what they were telling us it was right before people cast their votes in the election.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to play the report from the Today Show. And again, we got lots of breaking news here. We'll also see if we can track down the 911 call to try to piece this all together. But to me, and this is, look, you always have to kind of think as if you're a defense attorney. I've been a defense attorney before in my career. My argument here is that this was some sort of, you know, to try the hammer attack happened, right? So the evidence is Paul Pelosi was clearly attacked
and it was vicious and brutal and awful. We can see it.
And that's a clear crime. But why did Paul Pelosi not immediately rush outside when the police officers arrived? I think that's the difficult question. And that's why I think they didn't want this body cam footage released, because it raises questions beyond, oh, this was a crazy Trump supporting MAGA attacker who just stormed into Paul Pelosi's home and beat him senseless with a hammer, while screaming, you know, this is, you know, I'm just making it up, right? But while screaming, this is for the insurrection of January 6th, which was the story that they tried to basically sell. It's a little bit stranger. And I would be curious what the police thought, because you can hear the conversation from the police as they approach. They aren't sprinting. They aren't running as if Paul Pelosi has conveyed, hey, my life is in immediate peril. You have to get here instantly.
I've had cops show up at house parties I was in college with more urgency than these cops walk up to that door, right? For a noise complaint.
Like, and I think that's part of what that was conveyed to them as they approach was not, this is, hey, someone's life is in peril. The way that they arrived, and even the way Paul Pelosi opens the door while having the drink in his hand, it's almost like a cordial, hey, officers, how are you doing? That rapidly then escalates into an attack. So we'll continue to provide more context for this, but two big stories involving police body cams, both coming out on this Friday. The one in Memphis reportedly coming out this evening. We got several callers from Memphis who want to weigh in with what it feels like on the streets of Memphis right now. And we will continue to piece together all this audio and story surrounding Paul Pelosi as well. You can also go to clayandbuck.com. The video is up there. If you're not a Twitter person, at Clay Travis, at Buck Sexton. Video is out. Video, what did they think? All that, 800-282-2882. It is a Friday. Lots of breaking news. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. And I want to tell you as we roll into the break here, how many of you out there have moments in your family's life that you want to preserve forever? Maybe it's on slides. Maybe it's on old school movie reels. Maybe it's VHS tapes that are slowly declining. Everybody has a family historian. How many of you out there right now have boxes of videos that are incredibly important to you? Maybe you don't even have a VCR anymore, but you want to preserve the memories that are stored there forever for you and your family. Well, fortunately, Legacy Box is here for you. You know, Legacy Box probably has more VCRs than anyone or any business on the planet right now. They keep buying up VCRs so they can make sure they preserve your family's memories. They're located down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is where my mom grew up. They are a Tennessee-based corporation. They do a phenomenal job. They've taken care of both Buck and myself and our family memories. They can do it for you, too. They'll digitize 19 different types of old media, and they'll turn it into something that is on the cloud, digitally preserved forever. If you want a thumb drive, they'll do that. They can even make DVDs if you would rather have this preserved on a DVD. It's easy. You should get started with Legacy Box today to preserve your family's legacy. You'll be joining 1.5 million families who've relied on Legacy Box over the last decade. Visit legacybox.com/clay to get a great discount over their regular prices. Legacybox.com/clay.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Friday edition. Lots of news breaking all over the country. Video of Paul Pelosi and the attack there coming out. Expecting at 6 p.m. Central, 7 on the East Coast, 4 Pacific for video of this Memphis police beating that ended in a death, the Tyre Nichols case, to come out, which could create all sorts of issues. Joined now by Kim Strassel of the Wall Street Journal. She's a columnist there. My favorite newspaper by far. In fact, I'm an old man. I get the print copy every single day. It's sitting next to me in my Las Vegas studio right now. Kim, appreciate all the work. There's obviously major breaking news going on there. You talk about the news of the day. Have you seen the Pelosi video? It's released. Do you have any reaction to that?
Yeah. So first of all, it's so great to be here. Thanks for having me on. I have seen it. You know, and my first reaction is I think we're going to see a lot of people who are going to be very critical about the fact that the police did not maybe intervene faster here. But it's tough because you're looking at this in retrospect. We now know what this perpetrator was doing, what his intentions were, but that wasn't necessarily the case as they walked in. So there's going to be a lot of debate over this and a lot of debate about just the circumstances of that whole event. But it's one more piece of information.
Kim, we also had you on today because you've written this piece on the effort to ban gas stoves, which this is something that, you know, got a lot of attention, and then it flickered, it disappeared rapidly, because they started to say that this wasn't really a thing and that the right was making it a thing. But you've dove into this a bit and looked at the actual campaign to ban gas stoves. It is a real thing. They push it with junk science. They do want to do it. Tell everybody what this campaign's all about. Who's behind it?
Yeah, the nonsense out of the White House that there's no intention to do this or that this is made up, that is baloney. There's a very coordinated and calculated and very well-funded effort to kill off all gas appliances. It's led by a number of climate activist groups, and that's really important to remember because you're hearing a lot about health claims, how gas stoves are supposedly bad for your health. No. These groups understood years ago that trying to get Americans to get rid of gas stoves would be very hard if it was in the name of climate. So groups like you have like the Climate Imperative Foundation, the Rocky Mountain Institute, Rewiring America, New York University's Institute for Policy Integrity. They started pumping out all this hokey science claiming that somehow stoves were bad for you. And that has now been adopted wholeheartedly by members of the Biden administration. Just last month in December, the administration held a high-profile summit called the Electrification Summit. It featured an entire panel on getting gas out of homes. All of the members on that panel sat and just recited these crazy health claims as if they were accepted fact and talked about the need to get rid of all combustion appliances in your house. So, you know, this is central to their entire climate agenda, and it's not a question of if they're going to do it, it's a question of when.
Kim, when you look, so there's so many things going on right now. I know the Wall Street Journal has been covering the RNC and who's going to end up being the head of the RNC, and also how that could potentially implicate 2024. How wild and crazy do you think the 2024 election's going to be? Do you think it's going to be Biden without too many challengers? Do you think it's going to be pretty much Trump versus DeSantis? Or how do you see this all shaking out? Obviously, as we sit here early in 2023, it feels like anything can happen. We thought Trump was going to get charged until all the classified document scandal. So who knows what else might happen. But as we're sitting here at the end of January, how would you assess this battleground going forward?
Yeah, it is going to be absolutely crazy. I am one of those who believe that even if Biden announces that he's still going to get a challenger, okay, everything else about him has been Jimmy Carter. And so why not that too? I just find it very hard to believe that the younger generation of his party is going to sit by and let a guy whose infirmities are so on display clear the field, especially when there's so many of them who are eager to get in themselves. On the Republican side, I know that there is an effort going on in Washington, a lot of discussion for those who would like to see new blood in the party. And I don't think this is necessarily a comment on Trump himself, but there is a desire to have a new person out there. And for those who are interested in that, there's been a lot of talk about potentially trying to clear the field other than Trump and DeSantis. In order to make it harder for Trump to basically outmaneuver what would be a very crowded field. I myself do hope we get a number of people in there, not because I don't think DeSantis is a really interesting candidate and great, but because this is a really big moment for the conservative movement, and they need to see a lot of different voices and have that debate and choose very wisely, because it's going to be very important to get a conservative back into the White House.
You know, Kim, you mentioned the new generation and the Republican Party and the dynamics at play for the presidency. But today, as you know, RNC is voting over RNC chair. You have Ronna McDaniel, who was initially elevated into the post by Donald Trump. Harmeet Dillon, who is a lawyer, also does a lot of Fox News appearances, known to the base, known to the party well, who's running against her. I believe Mike Lindell is also... Isn't he on the ballot? Yes, Mike Lindell. But so what do you see with this dynamic playing out here?
Yeah, so I, without kind of getting into the personalities, I think this has been a really healthy discussion for the RNC to have. Just because a lot of it isn't necessarily about personality, it's about the role of the outfit. What it did or didn't do in the last midterm as a result of this fight, we're kind of having an autopsy about the RNC's position and how it played into some of the failures that Republicans saw. This comes as well, which I find fascinating, at a moment when everyone's beginning to rethink the idea of these giant party structures anyway. What are they supposed to do? Especially in this day and age when so much money that pours into campaigns is coming from these outside PACs. And they are really exerting a lot of the influence here. So one of the discussions, and I think it's just so important, has been the role of the RNC of inviting new people into the party, of outreaching to new audiences. I think that is something that it's been getting better at. And you have seen that in terms of some of the voting demographic shifts in recent elections, in particular Hispanics voting in greater numbers for Republicans, African Americans. I think those discussions are really important to have. And so in my mind, I'm kind of hopeful whoever comes out on top of this these days, I think that that debate internally is going to make the RNC stronger going forward.
Kim Strassel, go check out her columns at the Wall Street Journal. Kim, always appreciate you being with us. Come back soon.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
The fight to protect the lives of unborn children is as active as ever. In half the states in our nation, we're hearing and reading about new legislation proposing newer laws for abortion, abortion pills, and more. What you might not have heard about, however, is the work of the preborn pregnancy clinics nationwide. This nonprofit organization has been saving the lives of unborn children for the past 17 years. On any given day, they save the lives of 150 babies, just to give you a sense of their daily impact. They need our help, though. They're funded by donations from the pro-life community. They use those donations to provide ultrasounds to pregnant mothers and care up through 2 years of the baby's life. Through an ultrasound, though, during those ultrasound moments, a mother considering abortion hears the heartbeat of that baby, sees that precious life, and a majority of the time, just because of that preborn ultrasound, she chooses life for her child. Will you join the fight to save lives today? Please consider making a donation of whatever size you can. But just for reference, $28 is all it takes for an ultrasound that could save a baby's life. $140 would be 5 ultrasounds sponsored by you. 100% of your donation will go towards saving babies' lives. Just dial #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, say baby, or visit their website at preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK, sponsored by Preborn.
Subscribe to CNB 24/7 and never miss a minute of Clay and Buck while getting behind-the-scene access to special content for members.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Only. Third hour of Clay and Buck gets going right now, everybody. Right now, as we speak to you, RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel is fighting for re-election. They're having the RNC meeting out in Dana Point, California. You ever been to Dana Point, Clay? I hear it's very nice.
I think so. Where is Dana Point? Exactly.
I was waiting for you to tell me, buddy.
I've been all over. I think it is. Well, I'm going to look it up now because I think I have been to Dana Point. I spent so much time out in California over the years, Orange County. So yes, I think I have been to Dana Point. I've spent Ooh. So much time in the LA area. Yeah. It's not a bad area, right? I know there is a lot of anger over the way California is run right now, but because Fox Sports is based out in LA, I've spent years of my life, it feels like, off and on traveling out to LA and been everywhere. Lots of great friends out there. So Dana yeah. Point, very nice area.
I think that California as a physical location is one of the hardest places to beat in the U.S. Yeah, I know there are national parks in Montana. There's a lot of rugged beauty out there. But if you're a beach and coast guy, California's pretty amazing. And look, we can hope for one day California regaining its, governing sanity. It's going to take a while. It might take a few decades, but it could happen at some point. California's a state that gave us Ronald Reagan. California used to be a pretty solidly Republican. You go back to the days of Nixon and it was a pretty solidly Republican state. And yeah. Here we are now seeing that it's not that anymore. That's for sure. So they're voting as we speak to you. The Republican members of the RNC are voting on who will be the next Republican National Committee chair. Looks like it's going to be either Harmeet Dillon or Ronna McDaniel, who has had the job for years now. And, you know, how much of a difference does the RNC chair make? I think that's a fair point or a fair question to bring up. And I do think Harmeet is very widely respected. I know Harmeet a little bit more than I know Rana. And I do think that there's just a sense people have, Clay, that after a few disappointing elections, which certainly 2018, 2020, 2022, all disappointing. Now, you could argue that 2020, with the exception of the presidency, you know, went under the circumstances somewhat, you know, somewhat well, but certainly 2018 was not good. People forget 2018, it looked like the Democrats didn't do that well in the House in terms of pickups. And then it actually ended up doing very well overall. There was something of a delayed blue wave there. I do think that new strategy, new approach is very compelling right now. It's not even a knock. I don't know, Rana. I can't speak to her managerial skills or anything else. Sometimes you just got to shake it up, right? I mean, wasn't Trump in 2016, what was really at the heart of the whole thing? Shaking up and at some level also just smashing parts of the system. I think that it's time for some change within the RNC. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Well, I think the bottom line, you just have to replicate the get out the vote effort that we've seen Democrats take advantage of since the COVID changes. And you can keep saying, oh, we only vote on election day. But when you look at the numbers, when you're trying to replace a huge deficit by a big turnout on election day, I think you have to recognize that the game has changed and you need some young, dynamic leadership to acknowledge and recognize that. Speaking truth here, Republicans have not won the popular vote in a presidential election since 2004. That's a generation. That's 20 years, basically. We'll see what happens in 2024. But how do you get back to winning the popular vote, particularly considering that I think it's fair to say Democrats, by and large, have lost their minds, and their governing style has been a failure pretty much everywhere. California, where we started talking about earlier, the larger the blue denomination is in a state, the more people are choosing to leave that state. California, New York, Illinois. When Democrats take complete control of government, then really bad things follow. And people are voting with their own physical possessions and their location and abandoning red, blue states in favor of red states. So Republicans have to cash in on this.
Yeah, I think that it's fair to say that there's some great things about the mindset of, you know, the ethos, the philosophy of a conservative, just as a very general thing. We look at what has worked, what does work. We look at history. We look at tradition, foundations of our society. We're suspicious of radical change. We're suspicious of people who say they have all the answers are new. Forget about what has been known up to this point. All the answers are presented suddenly. They've just been found. The downside politically, though, and I mean from a nuts and bolts running the machine side of things, is when it comes to adapting to new technology, to new strategies, to new laws even that are on the books, I think Republicans can be slow. I think that we like, and of course, tradition is a great thing, and you know, traditions of our republic are something that should be upheld and protected. But we can't always be traditional in how we get out the vote, right? We can't always be traditional in how we're reaching people, in the sense that adaptability and being sometimes on willing to look at what is working for your opponents as a means of information dissemination, as a means of getting your message out to people, that matters. And I do think that we're in a point now where everywhere that there's going to be a political contest, we got to think of, you know, how do we get the low probability voter out? You know, somebody who would probably come out for our side, but might not show up at all. How do we get people who are independents to swing to our side? How do we get base turnout to be as absolutely high as possible? And this is where you get into discussions about early voting, mail-in voting, ballot harvesting, and also messaging. We were talking about social media the other day. I know for a lot of people, politics is shaking hands and knocking on doors. Still very true. And our friends who have run for Congress recently, both successfully and unsuccessfully, have come on the show, will tell you that's still a big part of it. You know, old school fundraisers, you know, having that, having the chicken dinner and having everybody show up and, you know, donate what they can. But there's also Facebook and there's TikTok and there's Instagram and there's giant email lists and they're sorting through data. And that's where the RN, you know, it's like, where does the RNC matter? Yeah, distributing money, but distributing money intelligently and strategically in a way that you win the elections you need to pursue the agenda. Because an agenda without wins is just talking points.
And also getting people who are Republicans to actually vote Republican. Because if you look at the close races in Nevada, where I'm out right now, the governor's office was pretty much the only incumbent that flipped nationwide. But if you look at Georgia in the Herschel Walker race, if you look at Nevada, if you look at the state of Arizona, you can be focused on independents and Democrats. But really, the reason why Republicans lost in those states was because they had people who flipped over and were willing to vote Republican on many races, but voted Democrat. They split their tickets. So that has to be acknowledged and looked at. By the way, we're talking about two different stories that have been ongoing throughout the course of the program. The release of the Paul Pelosi video, which we will continue to break down. If you haven't seen it, you can go watch it yourself. We've played the 911 calls. We kind of pieced together everything on that case. Also, Tyree Nichols, 29-year-old Memphis dad who was killed by five black Memphis police officers. That video is going to be released at 6 p.m. Central, 7 o'clock on the East Coast, and at 4 p.m. on the West Coast. Could lead to some danger out there. We put out the APB for Memphis residents. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? We'll take your calls on that. We also want to take your calls in this final hour for any law enforcement that wants to react to the Paul Pelosi video. Maybe you guys do as well. The number 800-282-2882. And I believe Katie in Memphis calling to give us a sense for what's going on in the city of Memphis. Katie, what does it feel like in Memphis right now as people in that city get ready for the release of the police video?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Memphis City Schools have canceled all after-school activities, so no games, nothing. Everything is shut down after school.
And that's a pretty big deal. Sorry to cut you off, Katie, but in Memphis, like, no basketball games going on a Friday. That would be fairly common in the state of Tennessee, Friday night, high school basketball. All of that's been canceled at all schools and all events. That's a pretty big news. I didn't know that.
Correct. And also, I think there's winter dances this weekend. Those have been canceled. But now suburbs, I'm in the suburb. Those suburb schools are all activities as usual.
Are you at all nervous about what the fallout is going to be in Memphis when this video comes out based on what has been already shared and conveyed publicly?
Absolutely. Everyone I have talked to is nervous. I've been out running errands, grocery store shopping. It's kind of here in the Midwest, when it snows, everyone runs to the grocery store and they say, I'm planning on staying in for the next few days. That's kind of the sense here. Everyone is just very apprehensive. A lot of people are saying we're praying for our city. That's just kind of the feel around here. Everyone is praying, loving on each other, telling everyone to be careful, be safe, and stay in.
Thank you for calling in. And, you know, Clay, there's just, everyone knows we've been through this before. And the country, dozens if not hundreds of different cities across America have been through this before. When there is anger about an incident of police violence in some, whatever the specific case may be, destroying things only makes everything worse. And we should all be very, there's no leeway on that. There is absolutely nothing but support and respect for people using their First Amendment rights to get out there in the streets and say this was unjust, to come together to try to heal as a community, to call for it. Now, I do want to talk, there already is discussion of policy change, and we should have that discussion, because I think we need to be very careful about calling for policy changes in an emotional moment that will actually result in more violence for more people, which is, this is reality. We're having discussions, you know, among people that want the best for every community, including the community of Memphis. But it's so beyond the pale at this point that there would be, you know, Antifa or, you know, BLM anarchist types or whomever taking up this as a moment to attack innocent people's stores or homes or property, or to throw rocks at the faces of cops who don't actually have anything to be sorry for because they weren't there. They didn't do it. You know what I mean? It's, you know, we need to come down a lot hard. If any of that stuff happens, the whole country needs to come down really hard on those who still think that burning down or looting your local store is somehow achieving justice.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why to start the show, I said, you know, in addition to praying for the people of the city of Memphis, I think so many National Guard, State Guard, police officers who are busting their asses and working incredibly hard to try to protect everybody across this country are now going to be, unfortunately, targets if there is going to be an uprising in these cities. And I talked about this earlier. I want everybody back home and safe.
Yeah, I remember when during the BLM riots, summer of 2020, there was video. And I mean, there was a lot of this stuff all over the place. But when there were some federal officers who were sent to try to help protect a courthouse that was having Molotov cocktails and incendiary devices thrown at the courthouse, they're trying to light a courthouse on fire, federal court building. And then they were shining lasers in the eyes, you know, these laser pointers with the hope that they would blind people, which is a horrific thing to try to do to somebody. And they were throwing bags of urine and feces at these police officers. That's someone's dad. You know what I mean? This stuff really gets forgotten. That's someone who's doing a job that our country, that our people have asked them to do. They're standing on that line. They're protecting our society. And as long as they do so honorably and within the law, they should be respected and supported. And instead, you have these lunatics literally throwing bags of urine. I mean, it was disgusting, disgusting, the stuff. So it's not even just the violence against the cops from these anarchist groups that should be absolutely abjectly condemned. It's the complete disrespect of law enforcement that happens. Maybe this is not even a discussion we have to have at all. Maybe people act appropriately despite their, you know, very emotions are running very high and people are going to be very upset. We've been told that, and understandably so. But there's just never any excuse for attacking innocent people in any context because you're angry. We just have to draw a very hard line on that. And I think I'm hoping we don't have to have that discussion, but I worry that come Monday, after this weekend, we may. Look, let's talk about the economy for a second, because it's rough out there. Inflation, stock market up and down all the time. Retirement accounts have gotten slammed over the last 12 months or so. There's a lot of economic uncertainty out there. So what can you do now? The Phoenix Capital Group suggests you diversify your investments. They're introducing investors to high-value oil and gas here in the U.S. with current yields which range from 8% to 11% APY paid monthly. These are corporate bond offerings. They're open to all investors, and that annual interest is paid monthly. Phoenix Capital Group offers live webinars to learn about Phoenix's business structure, ways they offer security for the offerings, risks, and their financials. They host live Q&As where they'll answer all your questions. You can sign up at investingwithphx.com. That's investingwithphx.com, or call 323-PHOENIX. Investment in bonds has a certain risk. Before making investment decisions, you should carefully consider and review all risks involved. Sign up today at investingwithphx.com. That's investingwithphx.com. Or call 323-PHOENIX. That's 323-PHOENIX to connect.
Making sense in an insane world.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me along with co-host Leah Rose as we sit down with the artists you love to get unparalleled creative insight. You'll hear revealing interviews with some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Usher, Pete Townsend, Damon Albarn of the Gorillaz, and Missy Elliott. And you'll hear from up-and-comers, like jazz artist Leve, who told me about her fast rise to fame during the pandemic. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.